2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would open your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's two things that happen when you're told to open the Word and, of course, listen to the message. Number one, your life, as if your life depended on it, because it does. I mean, in eternity. And it also has to do with your everyday living in many cases. So all of those are important. Anything that you read in the Word is important. There's no fluff. And so we're going to dig in here in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going here. Our Father, we thank you for the good hymns that were picked this evening, the good spirit that we have here among ourselves, and we now pray that you take the reading of your word, bless it to our spiritual understanding. That can only happen if two things take place. Number one, we're saved, and the indwelling Holy Spirit reveals to us while we're in fellowship what it is that these words and phrases and sentences mean. And so I pray both of those are true in every case of everybody represented here. But it's possible that somebody's here and not saved. And to that end, Father, I just pray you'd bring the needed conviction that they would be persuaded that they're lost, they need to be saved, and they can only be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him. And come to trust them now as their Savior. And we pray that you'd speak to each one of us who are here, everybody that might be watching, and pray that your will might be accomplished in what we do here. And we pray this also in Jesus' name. Amen. Singing is the worst thing for my throat. I think Brandon does this on purpose. So, in government, the President of the United States is supposed to give what we call the State of the Union address in the month of January. Our governor and other governors give the State of the State address. Don't know exactly when that is. I don't know if counties do it or cities do it, but I think it's a good idea because we might get rid of a lot of dead wood and corruption. But anyway, these five verses sum up the state of the professing church in the last days, like today. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today. We're familiar with the characteristics that I read. I think there's 18 or 19 in verse 2, 3, 4. But I want to go to verse 5. I can allude back to these, but I want to pay particular attention. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. All right, the state of the church, all those things that are mentioned. It's not the state of the infidels, the state of non-religious people. Where religious people, church people, like those people, the one across there and the ones that are all over the place. All right, that's the state of these churches, giving the appearance of some form of godliness, but does not regard, and matter of fact, it denies and blasphemes the inward power of the reality of godliness. I worked as a carpenter apprentice among my many jobs. Before I was saved, I worked down in Miami, and we worked on I-95. We were doing the overpass in downtown, and the pilings were put in place. They were measured. They were leveled, as leveled can be, and then there would be horizontal beams that were put in place, and for that to happen, we would get construct forms and put them on the side of both sides of the length of the beam. And these forms ranged in weight, 3/4 inch to 1 inch plywood, and 2x6 putting it together. So you would put it together up off of a scaffold, and it would encompass everything, and it would be in place. It was critical that it had to be in the exact place to ensure levelness and conformity to prior measurements. You couldn't come along and change the standard. You just couldn't do it. Now, when that was completed, it would hold the concrete in place to some degree on both sides, and then ultimately you would take down the form. So what would happen if I, being a carpenter's apprentice, decided, you know, this 3/4 inch plywood is much too heavy. Why don't let's put cardboard in there. Why don't we put cardboard up there, and cardboard that looks exactly like the plywood, and we'll just put 2x2s there. Well, let's put 1x2s. What would happen? Well, once the cement started being poured into there, it would give out, it would spill all over everywhere and destroy everything. So the standard was set. It had to be, the form had to be a certain way, and you could not afford to change it. And as a by the way type thing, what standard do all the other versions of the Bible hold to? Their own. If you have the NIV, the NIV standard is their standard. If you have the ESV, that's their standard, and it disagrees with the NIV standard. So you've got all these standards, they all disagree with one another because they all add and subtract. So you have to have one standard. Otherwise, you don't have any idea what's what. So that's important. So the important thing here, in the end, these were forms. They were discarded, and then they weren't concrete and trashed, or they were reused on another pillar. Well, godliness has a form as well, an outward form. It's an indispensable form, and often that form is an advantage. Sometimes it can even be attractive. But there may be a form without power, like merely a ritual. If you go next door, has anybody been inside of next door? It's creepy. It's black and it's red. And it's all, and it has little creatures on the walls. And I'm serious, they have names for all of those, but I think the walls are black and they have red curtains and there's no pews. They all have to stand. And there's a book, and they read the book, and the people say something, and then they read the book, and the people say something, and then they have prayer, and the guy reads the prayer, and then they go out, and they eat, right? Merely ritualistic. There's no substance. There's no scripture. How about the appearance of devotion? I'm really interested. I really dedicate it to the word, but it's only an appearance or a mere profession, whether it be classic or modern ritualism. The external prayer, which is, again, is always read by a book. In the Episcopal Church, you don't pray, you read a prayer. I think Catholicism is the same thing. Everything is written down for you. You have some external morality in all of that. So I want you to look at some scripture here, important scripture, and I want you to note the similarities to what Paul is writing here, that in the last days perilous times shall come, and the characteristics of what was taking place. So we'll start out here in Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. This is Israel. I'm well aware that this is Israel, but there again, there are things going on within churches today that is also was taking place then. Isaiah 28, did I say? 29, sorry. Isaiah 29, look at verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. They gave up the authority of God for the authority of man. I was talking to you this morning about, you know, when you read about people being Bible scholars, generally what they're trying to do is to usurp the authority of God. They know better than God. Now, God knows who he is and what he said. Nobody can compare to that. And so what they were doing is they were turning over the authority to the precepts of men, which, of course, tells you why things continue to go downhill. Chapter 48, same book, chapter 48. How often haven't you read or gotten brochures? I get them all the time. Come to our conference. We have a conference on this, we have a conference on that, and they're led by the most dynamic and powerful preacher of our day. And it's amazing how many powerful and preachers of our day all have the same thing. And you go there to find out how to do things. You don't go here to the Word. You go to them. And if you go to them and you copy them, then you'll be like them. Well, I thought we were being conformed to the image of Christ. To be like Him, not like them. And we all do things differently. So, Isaiah 48, look at 1 and 2. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name. So everything they were doing, God says, wasn't in truth, and wasn't in righteousness. But they were saying something. They were going through the motions of something, were they not? And obviously people were following them. Chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thine voice like a trumpet. And show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. And forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, that ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. So everything they were doing was to this mass confusion. Horrible. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. You seeing some parallels yet? Hope so. Ezekiel 33. Let's go down here to verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Now, that would sound like a good thing. Hey, we're inviting people to come and hear what and see how it plays out. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear my words, thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. That's getting a little close to home. We would have a thing with the kids when they were younger, and they would be off in their class, and we would say, well, what were you taught today? It's an amazing thing how quick their memory just faded off. And how can you remember anything if you didn't pay attention to what was taught in the first place? So I can go home, and if Linda, like, she's not in here, what you preach on, and I have to think about it. Because there's just so much going on. But the message this morning. However, how many of you remember what it was and what the points were and what goes on, what you should do and what you shouldn't do? And it's easy to do. And I don't think that, you know, the Lord is really judging them, but we need the people to not only pay attention to what we hear, but to act on it. If we don't act on it, then nothing's going to materialize out of that. All right, let's go to the New Testament. By the way, these verses are a great example of 2 Timothy 3. That's why you have people that are like this in 2 Timothy 3. Matthew chapter 23. Remember, we're looking at a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Matthew 23 and verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and full of uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And I think, you know, exactly like Micah said, you can appear and you can say the right things. We knew a fellow that wasn't even saved. He was a friend of my dad's who lived down in Miami. And go to Romans chapter 2 while you're doing that. While I'm saying this. And he had been witness to the Bible college kids for so many years that he welcomed talking to them because he knew exactly where they were going and what they were saying and how to answer them. He became so familiar with the truth, and yet the truth was not in him. Nothing to do with the truth. All right? Romans chapter 2, and let's look down here when I catch up. Down here in verse 20. Romans chapter 2, verse 20. Actually, let's start in verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and retest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form and knowledge of the truth in the law. There again is that form. Now watch how the power is negated. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou thyself, that thou preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? That makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. So here's a situation where you had professing people, these are Jews, so we could apply it to Christians, doing great damage to the cause of Christ and his name. Because they would give out the truth, but they wouldn't do it. Didn't apply to them. It's like government. It can tell you what to do, but that doesn't apply to them. All right? So this is, again, you've got the form, but without the power. All right? There's two that I want to put together. Matthew 7 is the first part. Matthew 7 and 2 Peter 2. Matthew 7, look here in verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravening wolves. They're not who they appear to be. Well, a form of godliness that denies the power thereof is exactly the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 2, this is more a little bit more direct. And we don't necessarily see them in sheep's clothing. Verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring swift destruction upon themselves. Bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So we've got people that are telling untruths, and people are believing them and following them. when that happens, maybe there's a form of godliness and maybe there's not. But whatever form there is, it denies the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is a very, very practical verse. 1 Timothy chapter 5. What did I say? Whatever you want. We're going to go whatever makes you happy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, we've done a lot of work in our experience with elderly people that have wound up in nursing homes, different ones of our church people as they've aged and so forth. And we've seen this happen many times. Look at verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those in his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And we'll ask, you know, where are your children? Oh, they're here in town. Do they ever come and visit you or help you? No. And sometimes maybe you have some in town, some out of town, but it seems like somebody else has to take the burden here. And really, there is where you can have that form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We're responsible to take care of our own. We really are. I don't like to think of Linda and I getting old and not being able to take care of ourselves. And so we're not. But should that happen, then our kids would have to take on the burden. And so that's why we're not growing old, because we don't want them to take on that burden, if possible. But you understand what I'm saying. There's a lot of heartache. I'm thinking of Mother's Day and Father's Day, and when some of those that are in our church, wouldn't it be wonderful if their relatives would show up along with the parent, the children, whatever? I mean, just as a, you know, they don't have to agree with what we do here, but they sure could, you know, boost their parent or their child by doing that, and they don't. And I think the provision is not just monetary. I think it's personal, too. So, form of godliness denying the power thereof. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. 2 Timothy and then Titus. Titus chapter 1, look at verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God. Now, read verse 15 and then go read verse 16 again and go back to 15 and say, these are people that are professing to know God, a form of godliness, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Listen, there has to be power from on high to be godlike. You can't do it yourself. In ourselves, there's none, just like we said this morning. Now, I can go out and write scriptural passages of scripture, maybe put them to rhyme, maybe not put them to rhyme, but just I can write scriptural words and have somebody put it to a contemporary music scene without ever making those words part of my life. Or worse, changing the standards of what those words actually mean for my own benefit. I found myself, well, Mark wanted a copy of the video, and I was having trouble finding it. YouTube took it down. Somebody else took it down. So I happened to look on a website, a different website, and they had it right in the website. And so I was playing it, and I was talking to Joyce. She said, who were you listening to? And I said, I was watching that video that I got. And I listened to it again. And each time I did, I was picking up more and more. And I started pondering something, and I hope this is not uniquely me. I started pondering the upbringing of the two guys that were featured. I wonder how they were brought up. I wonder if they were taken to church. I wonder if they had any kind of a background whatsoever. And then I got to thinking, you know what? We talk about the power of prayer, and yet many times we don't utilize that. And I thought, what if we prayed for them? What if I prayed for them? Those two. I don't know any of the other ones. But I know the one guy's name was Troy and the other guy's name was Daniel. So what if we prayed for Troy and Daniel, for the Lord to get a hold of their heart and really convict them in some way where they cannot function that way and become more miserable than they already are. And maybe something could materialize out of that. Maybe they're reprobate. And I mean, it's useless. But who are we to decide that? And as mad as I am about it, I know that the Lord died for them and shed his blood for them and rose again from the dead for them so they could be saved. But something came into their lives. Madeline Murray O'Hare was the same way. The atheist. She was a Presbyterian. And she had a bad incident with Presbyterianism. And it made her so mad she went out and then started all this business with the atheists. And I think a lot of these people that are in situations like that have these backgrounds where something's happened and it's caused a major flare-up, so much so that they want anything to do with whatever was taking place. Many times maybe they, this is a genetic thing. I mean, where the leaders in the home were this way before, who knows? But I just couldn't get that out of my mind. I listened to it three times this afternoon, and I was just thinking, you know what? I was not like those two, but I was lost as lost can be. Her brother James was lost, Jules was lost, Frank was lost, and what do we do? Do we do the comparative? Well, Frank wasn't as bad as James, and James wasn't as bad as me, and all of us weren't bad as these guys. No, we're lost. We need to be saved. And we all came different ways, and wouldn't it be something if these guys could come by means of that avenue of disgust before a holy God? Sure, pray for them. We should. So the power that comes from the Holy Spirit within us produces godlike thoughts. I can't produce a godlike thought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Do you know what a struggle that is? Every thought. How many of you in here already tonight have thoughts outside of what we're doing here? You're wandering. You got other things on your mind. What am I going to do when I get out of here? That kind of thing. Every thought into the obedience of Christ. It's like the chief thing that I think I strive for. And it only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit within me. It also produces godlike affections. Not fleshly. It's just the opposite of the flesh. A godlike temper. Normally, our tempers are sinful. But we can have righteous indignation. We can be mad at the things that are unrighteous, like with this video and those people, and not cross the line. Sometimes we get mad because it's just inconvenient. And the power also produces a godlike life, none of which I can do, and which only the Holy Spirit can do. As again, as we yield to Him, He's there. That's just what He's doing. Which is what He wants to do. This is His ministry within us. How come we deter His ministry? Well, the flesh doesn't want any of that. And all of that is, of course, within the born-again believers. Now, that power can be and is denied in the flesh. My flesh wants nothing to do with anything I just said just now. And we can deny it in theory, where we don't even take it to the testing stage to see if it works or it's biblical at all, or practically by denying Bible principles like separation, personal, church-wise, which is where a lot of the battle is today. A lot of the evangelicals became new evangelicals, which became emergent, which are becoming something else, which will become something else. In each case, the separation gets thrown in the trash can, what little there's left when you leave the truth. And then they don't like what's left, so they throw that in the trash. And then they don't like what's left of that. So the continuation. And so an association for the other one. Got to be careful of our associations, practically speaking, or the preservation of God's word. It's easy to get caught up in these things, and we can deny the very thing that the Holy Spirit's trying to produce in us because of the flesh. Suppose your parents don't like King James. doesn't phase me. I'm not going to, you know, because this is what I'm going to use. And if we have discussions, my parents are not here, then the discussion will be according to Scripture. It's not going to be according to what so-and-so says, what some scholar says, what somebody wrote since the 1800s, because everything since the 1800s has been a step, two, three, four, 100 away from the Word of God. We need to get wisdom. I'm going to say some things, and you're all going to agree with me. Reality TV is fake. There is no such thing as reality TV. Everything is choreographed. Worldwide wrestling is fake. We knew a lady that swore and said, no, it is real. There is nothing real about it. It is totally choreographed. They teach these techniques. They're not hurting each other. They look hurt. The only time I remember anybody being hurt is some guy threw a chair and hit a guy in the head. And he bled, real blood. But these were dangerous people. Many of them of the sodomite community. Now, you wouldn't think those kind of people were, but they were and are. Most news is fake. It's very difficult to find truth in news. It really is. Most politicians are fake. And sadly, many preachers, pastors are fake. I don't like to say that. I've had too much opportunity in seeing this is what I'm giving out. I don't live this. We got into a discussion over something, Linda and I, some friends that we knew from another church. But the pastor teaches this. He said he doesn't live it. It has nothing to do with living that. He just gives out information. That's a form of godliness, but denying the power. It has no hold on me. So the prognosis in the minds of followers is to follow the leader. Even though he's blind, he leads the blind without question. So with what we know from just Old Testament examples, a few New Testament examples, the list that you see in verses 1 through 4, how close are we to the Lord's return? I would say pretty close. And as the closer we get, the more you're going to see the reality of all of these things. But it would not be difficult for me to go through 2 through 4 and give you an example firsthand of where this is happening. And again, it's not out in the street. It's in the churches. So understand this. With God, there is no such thing as being neutral. You're either for Him or you're against Him. You're either on, as a saved person, on the narrow path. And how can you be on the broad way if you're with Him and you believe in Him? How can you step off the narrow way and get on the broad way? I don't understand it. I think you can fall, but if you're saved, you're going to get back up. No neutrality here. None. So the question that begs here from verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, are we whom we claim to be? I hope you would say yes. That we would be genuine. That we would be real. That we don't have fake church. That we're getting something. That we're moving in a godly direction. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect in this life. We certainly can become more godlike. We certainly can become more conformed to the image of Christ. And we ought to strive to do that as best we can in a world that really, you know, these new cars all have automatic headlights. You can have them on in the daytime. We need automatic headlights of discernment, because there are some bad things happening. And we need to be aware of them and to know what to do with them and how to diffuse them. Our kids are being taught some things that they should never be taught. And we need to be aware of that so that we can diffuse that. But if we're not doing the very things that we should do, then they're going to read that in us and they won't do the things they're supposed to do because you're not doing it. Remember the verse in Deuteronomy, and it talks about them teaching their children. And they're talking about teaching their children all through the day and night. So if I, when the kids were home, if I took Friday and, well, let's say Saturday, and stayed up till 3 or 4 in the morning on Saturday, and then decided that we're going to go to church, and I wanted them not to be up there, and I was useless, good for nothing. They would think, why shouldn't we be able to do that? You see what I'm saying? There's example here. You teach by that. You teach by the Word, and we learn that way. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Don't get caught up in that, because it's hard to get out of. It's hard to recognize. And if we're going to be victorious, it's going to be a battle. And you may not like how you need to get out of it, but you can get out of it. Let's pray. Our Father, we are very careful to thank you for how clear you are on the day in which we live. 2,000 years before these events occurred, and yet they have occurred intermittently through these last 2,000 years. We've reached a point where all of these things that are mentioned, all the things that I read of in concerning Israel and Judah, are prevalent within people who profess to be saved. It's not my business to be a truth detector, necessarily. That's your job and the Holy Spirit's job. But there are some strange, strange things taking place by people who maintain a profession of faith and are so far, far removed from the power. A form, just a form. Maybe a cardboard form on a concrete structure. Maybe a cellophane form of protection against evil. Or just a vocal, oh yeah, I can do this, or I can do, no, apart from the Lord, you can do nothing. I can do nothing. So Father, I just pray we would get ourselves together, examine our own hearts, see where we are, and where there is a form of godliness, Father, I ask that it's backed up with the power that comes only through you, because there's too much that speaks against the Lord Jesus Christ, against we as a local church, and against you and your word. We need to be genuine, through and through. Flawed, yes. Inconsistent, yeah, maybe. Father, those are things that are all fixable. If we continue to go on and think that we can have it both ways, in the end, we'll regret it. And we shouldn't want that for ourselves or anybody else. If there's somebody here tonight without Christ, there's no sense in the charade of saying, I'm saved, when you don't even know what that means. There would be somebody down here that will show you, without any question, what it means and how you can know about salvation. And for we who are saved, Father, may we judge ourselves by this book. And if it speaks against us, then let's get into the conformity on the basis of the authority of God's Word. There may be somebody that's here that's saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. This would be a good opportunity to make that intent known. I want to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want people to know that I, in fact, have trusted Christ as Savior. I'm saved, and I'm going to try to live for Him the best I can. Not in the flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit within me. And again, there may be somebody here visiting, never part of this local church. Maybe make this time intent known to become a part of this group. And Father, we'll thank you for what you're about to do. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.